Blog Talk Radio.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is Friday night, and you know if it's Friday night, we are off the chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and of course that was a piece of shameless promotion. That was my ad man, Christopher Dunham, who does all of the ads for all of my books, and that particular book is called The Mad Hatter. And as they say in Alice in Wonderland, all the best people are mad. The book itself takes place in Whitechapel in 1888, and any of you who are criminal history fans or English history fans know what happened in the year 1888 in Whitechapel. However, that is not the story. It does run parallel to the story. So if you want to know the story, go on Amazon and pick up that little jewel. It's The Mad Hatter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, also I want to welcome a new sponsor to our show. Her name is Diane Moat. She is an author. She does write children's books. And this is what she says. I have a great new children's adventure to tell you about. Pepper Neely Pet Sits Magical Animals. In the first of the series, The Supernatural Pet Sitter, The Magical Thief, someone begins stealing the magic from Pepper's animal friends. She has to find the magic thief before the magic thief finds her. The Supernatural Pet Sitter by Diane Moat is now available on Amazon as an ebook or paperback. So plan ahead so you can entertain the kids on a long car ride, or guess what? Most kids are out for the summer. This would be a great book for them. Once again, that's The Natural Pet Sitter on Amazon by Diane Moat. Please go and get it and support her, because I guarantee you this is a neat, neat little book. Now, if you do have a desire to be a sponsor of the show and advertise on this show, go to AdvertiseCast and look up Off the Chain. My rates are reasonable. I don't believe in gouging. I believe in paying it forward. And send me a clip of what you would like for me to advertise for you, and I'll be happy to, because, ladies and gentlemen, as most of you know, this show is heard in over 65 countries, and we have well over 20,000 listeners on this show, including all of the podcast as well as Blog Talk Radio. And as I always do, I have to give a shout out to our friends in Australia. They are our biggest supporters on Blog Talk Radio. They beat out the USA 3-1. That's a shame. I'm very grateful for my Aussie friends, because they are helping this show become a success, as all of you are. I am just the facilitator of this wonderful show. My listeners and my guests have made this show successful, and I am very, very grateful for that. That being said, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to an author. This is her first time on our show, but it will not be her last. Her name is Debbie DeLuise, and she is an award-winning author and, one of my favorite occupations, a reference librarian at a public library on Long Island. She is a member of Sisters in Crime, International Thriller Writers, and the Cat Writers Association. Debbie has a BA in English and an MLS in Library Science from Long Island University. Her three published novels include Cloudy Rainbow, A Stone's Throw, and Between a Rock and a Hard Place. That one has been on the Amazon bestseller list for Cozy Mysteries. Debbie has also written articles and short stories for several anthologies of various genres, and her third novel came out in April. It's Written in Stone, the third of the Cobble Cove mystery series. Debbie lives on Long Island with her husband, her daughter, and her two cats. So all of you cat lovers out there, get ready for an hour of fun of talking about the fur babies, among a whole lot of other things. Debbie, hello, how are you, and welcome to our show.
Hi, Yvonne. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
You are so welcome. Now, before the show, we were talking about how, you know, we our paths and how we get to where we are in the present state of mind. How did you decide to become an author? I know being a librarian had to have a reference, but did it start way back when you were a little girl, or was it something that you changed your direction in as you got older? How did you get here?
Well, Yvonne, let me go back a little bit. When I was younger, I loved to write. I mean, from the time I learned how to write, I remember the one thing I wanted to do more than anything, first of all, well, reading even before that. I remember as a second grader learning to read, and I was just, words were magical to me. And even before I wanted to become a librarian, I never even knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to write. I know that. I, you know, when I was younger, I did a lot of writing on my own, creative writing, and my teachers all, you know, praised my writing. They told my parents I had talent. I had A's in English. I had A's in, you know, writing, and it was just something I enjoyed doing. It was an outlet for me. I wasn't very sports-minded. I was I'm the youngest in my family, so. And I didn't have anyone near my age because there's an 11-year difference between me and my next oldest sibling, my brother, and there's 15 years between me and my sister. So I felt like an only child for a long time, and there weren't a lot of kids in the neighborhood. So books were really my friends, as were my pets. I always had cats.
When you felt like an only child, even though you had those two siblings and there were no children your age in the neighborhood, if you hadn't had those books, that would have been a very lonely existence for you, would it not?
Yes, but, you know, I actually have there's four in my family, so I have two brothers and a sister. I was very close to my older brothers. My sister I didn't know too well. She did leave the house when I was relatively young. Of course, we kept in touch, but there was quite a distance between me and my sister. My brothers played with me a lot when I was younger. They were like uncles to me, actually. I was very close to them. But as far as books, I spent a lot of time reading, and it brought me, you know, I learned a lot through my reading, and it brought me into, you know, different worlds, different, you know, I learned about other countries, I learned about other people. I enjoyed fiction. It just took me to different places. I, you know, just found it, you know, was a nice thing to do and, you know, an activity that I enjoyed.
Would it be fair to say that in reading at such a young age, that not only were you entertained, as we are in fiction, mm-hmm. but you found nuggets of information that you might not have learned in a textbook or on a informational TV channel? Because authors worth their salt, even writing fiction, if they're writing about faraway places, we'll do research and pull in little nuggets that we might mm-hmm. not ordinarily know about.
Sure, that's very true. And I think, you know, with all children, when they read young, I mean, my daughter's always been a reader also. I read to her when she was very young, and she always wanted to read. She had the same enthusiasm, even though today, you know, the kids are on the computers, they're on the phones, but she still likes books. Of course, she grew up basically in the library because she was there when, you know, when she was very young, I brought her to the library. But, you know, what you were saying about how children learn a lot even through fiction, and they always say if a child has an interest in something, no matter what they're reading, even if they're reading a graphic novel, they're going to pick things up. It's good. It should be encouraged. And when you're interested in something, you learn more because you have an interest in it.
Would it be fair to say that your love of books put you on the path to become a librarian?
Yes, but I didn't think so then. I never, you know, it's strange. I never considered becoming a librarian until I was in college. I always wanted to write. That was my dream, and I gave that up at a point. I did it throughout my life, and, you know, later we can discuss that, but it wasn't, you know, that's not, I actually worked in different areas as well. I was a secretary for a period of time, but that's something else we'll discuss. But I'm sure the reading did play a part in that, but it's not that I connected the reading to becoming a librarian until later on.
As a librarian, and the reason I keep bringing up the library and librarians is because, like you, the library was my favorite place because there was all this wonderful information in books, even as a little bitty first grader. I didn't read first grade primaries. I read fifth grade books because first grade books bored me. But reading all this information, and you could just walk into a library and there was all these books that you could check out and take home and feel and read.
It's like being in a candy store, right?
Yes, exactly. You don't know which one to take home first. So, have you been able to convey that love of books and feeling to this generation or the generation before of children that have grown up not loving being in the library for books?
Well, I'm not a children's librarian. I'm an adult librarian, so I don't deal a lot with the children. But as far as my own daughter, as I said, I read to her when she was young. I brought books home from the library. I purchased books. You know, as much as I borrow books and I use the library, and a big library use, of course, I do buy my own books. I have a collection of books from when I was very young. Now I've kind of run out of room. I also have a Kindle, and I have a collection of books on the Kindle. So I read books in various formats. I do still like the regular, you know, hardback book or the regular paperback. I do prefer that. I still, like I said, I read on a Kindle, but I can read both formats, but I do prefer the regular book. And I think that, like I said, my daughter does read, you know, books, regular books. She's on the computer, of course, and, you know, all of that. But she does still like the regular book. And I think that's good. I think that it's good. I notice a lot of children in the library do read books. I know there are some that are, if a kid is going to be a reader, I think they're, you know, they're going to want, you know, books. There are, you know, children always who are not really interested in reading. Maybe they're more interested in sports or something else. I mean, they're going to use computers along with books. But I don't think it changes anything. I think reading is reading. So if they enjoy it.
And there's something about holding that book in your hand.
Oh, definitely. And seeing, you know, the pictures. It's, well, turning the pages, you know, just, you know, especially children's books, they're beautiful. And I'm not saying there are books online and so on, but the actual book, the illustrations are gorgeous. And but even in, you know, regular adult books, it's different reading a book than reading on a device.
I feel like I jump right into that book, and then when I close that last page, it's like completing a journey, and depending on the ending and how intense I got in that book, I'm either excited or I'm angry at the author because they left me hanging because I got another one coming out. It's all kinds of emotion.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm very disappointed when I finish a book. Like I want it to continue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the feeling. I don't want, you know, because you get very involved. You get involved with the characters. You get involved with the plot. You don't want to see it end.
And
I've had the reverse too, where I was disappointed at the end because I didn't like the ending, or the author let me down. And then I said, I love the book, but it didn't have a good ending.
What were they thinking? Yeah, I've had a couple of people tell me that.
I try to have endings that make sense.
Well,
I don't
like
to leave people hanging.
Well, I do, because then I write something else that fits in with it, and they go, oh, now I know where you're going. But in my research of you, as I tell all of my guests, I do unscripted shows because I like to have the feel of the ebb and flow of a conversation. Well, I found out a little fact about you, that you like Nora Roberts. She is an interesting author. What is it about Nora Roberts that you like?
I like the fact that she writes different types of books. For instance, you know, she started out, I think, as a romance author, but her books also include, you know, mystery. There's always a little bit, there's romance and mystery, which I enjoy writing myself. Some would consider it, you know, romantic suspense. Also, she writes the J.D. Robb series. So the In-Depth series, which is totally different. It's a futuristic mystery series. I like both of her books. I read them both. I've read quite a few of her series, and I read the standalones. I also read the trilogies. So I like the fact that, you know, she writes so many different types of books. And all her books seem to have, though, a little bit of humor in them, a little bit of romance, a little bit of mystery. She really, you know, has it all. She really invokes a lot of emotions in readers. And there's always a little bit of a twist. So I do enjoy her books. She reminds me of some of the authors I used to read when I was younger, more in the, you know, the romance genre. I used to read a lot of the gothic romances, Phyllis Whitney and Victoria Holt. And she kind of is like a modern-day gothic writer, I think. I mean, not that her books are gothics, because as I said, the In-Depth series is like futuristic, but it has the romance with the mystery in most of them.
And there's always that twist at the end.
Yeah, she does that very well. And the characters are very well developed.
They are. They're almost real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit, because you are a cat lover, and we have a lot of listeners that are cat lovers. I'm a cat lover. I have a Maltese, but I love cats because they...
Mm-hmm.
They are unique unto themselves. Dogs, when they get in trouble, they know they're in trouble, and they're sorry they got in trouble. But when cats get in trouble, they look at you like, really? How dare you assume something?
They are funny. They're very funny cats. They have a personality. They're really characters, cats, definitely.
They are. So you did a blog about... You have two cats, correct?
I real cats, yes. I have Oliver, my senior cat, and Stripey. Both of them, they were, Oliver was my mother's cat, and I took her when she could no longer care for him. As she's getting older, it was more difficult. And I took him I've had him for 4 years now. He'll be turning 17. My other cat, Stripey, after my cat Floppy passed away, I didn't want to get any more cats. He came before Oliver. We've had him about 9 years yet now, I'd say, 8-9 years. We had him, he was about 1 year old when we got him, but he had a difficult beginning because our neighbor knew the person who was taking care of him, and it was a gentleman who had taken Stripey, and Stripey was a stray. We don't really know how his early life, whether he got lost, whether somebody, you know, dumped him, we don't know. But this gentleman was taking care of him, and he loved him. This gentleman was very fond of Stripey. But what happened was his wife is allergic to cats, and so he had to find another home. And my neighbor knew that we had lost a cat and thought, you know, it was time that I got another, because I've always had cats. But I was not, you know, didn't think I was ready. And there's a story that goes on with that, but I don't want to take up the whole show. But that's how we got Stripey. And then a few years later, I tell you, we had to take Oliver, who was older, and they do get along. It took a little while to get them acquainted. But I have that; those are the two cats I have now, the two boys.
Were they the inspiration for your little book, The Path to Rainbow Bridge?
Well, The Path to Rainbow Bridge is, well, it's really a short story. It appeared in an anthology, you know, Realms of Fantastic Stories. But it also was published on its own as a Kindle short. All my cats were an inspiration. I've had cats all my life. So in that story, I do actually describe some of my cats from when I was very young. And, you know, the different things, some of the funny things that happened with the cats and also some of the sad things. You know, my cat Floppy, who, you know, he was the one before Stripey. He had diabetes. And from the time he was 7 until he was 15, he passed away at 15. And he'd been hospitalized several times. He had pancreatitis. He had liver issues. But it all started when we first got him. I got him as a kitten. He was about 6 weeks old. And he was the first cat I had after I got married. And he was asthmatic. He turned out to be asthmatic. And then he went on prednisone for a period of time. And that we believe that's why he became diabetic, because it's very common for cats treated a long term with prednisone. That's one of the side effects, is diabetes. But I loved him. You know, he was like, you know, I bonded with him. I mean, I bonded with all my cats. I could go back. But he was special. And, I mean, all my cats are special in a different way. But, you know, maybe because of my giving him insulin shots twice a day and taking care of him, and he had this need, and he was very close to me, that, you know, I felt a stronger bond with him. But when I wrote the story, you know, I mentioned him in the story, of course. You know, and the funny things he did, because when we first got him, it was near Halloween, and I took him home, you know, in our apartment. I hadn't been married very long, actually, only a couple of months when I took Floppy in, and it was near Halloween, and I had a basket of candy, you know, to give the kids, and he went into the basket, and he took out a lollipop, and he started playing with it. It was a Tootsie Roll, you know. And then I gave it, you know, these cats like stranger things. You buy them these expensive toys, they won't play with them, but they will play with little papers you crumple up or whatever. But I started, you know, I made it a habit. I would play with him with the lollipop, and he'd retrieve it like a dog. I mean, I'd throw the lollipop, and he'd retrieve it. And when we moved out of the apartment, there were all these lollipops under the refrigerator because he had batted them under. So, you know, all these little tidbits of different things that the different cats did, because they will do different things. And, you know, you remember the good, you try to remember the good things and the funny things. And, you know, in one of my books, actually, Floppy was in Cloudy Rainbow. I actually named the cat in the story after him. And there was the episode where the main character, when she didn't like cats, which is not the case because I always loved cats, but I had the main character not really like cats, and he grew on her. And she was in college, and I went back to when I was on the newspaper in college and all of this. But I know I'm getting off track, but I just wanted to finish this.
No, keep going. This is perfect.
Well,
keep going.
Well, when I was first married and I took Floppy home, this is besides the lollipop incident, because this other scene appears in Cloudy Rainbow. He went under the bed into the mattress. He dug himself a little tent. And I came home, and I couldn't find him. And I'm looking, and I'm calling, and then I see this bump in the bed. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's dead. Do you know I took a knife to cut him out? He was sleeping. And I was like, you know, and then other people have told me, oh, you know, they do that. They make little. But I'm like, you know, this was my first cat that I had on my own when, you know, my mother always took care of our cats, even though, you know, they were mine too. But, you know, it's different when you have your own cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, I killed him. And it was like, no, he was just sleeping. He was making himself a little nest. But see, that's the memory, you know. And, you know, as long as you feel these cats, they have these little things that they've done. And I was so upset at the time, but I remember that, you know. And, you know, I'm getting a little teary-eyed thinking about him.
Well, so, let me ask you this. The Path to Rainbow Bridge, would that be a good book for someone who has lost a cat? Because they do tend to live a long time. I had one that died at 20 years old.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, they are living longer. I mean, if a cat is indoors today, cats are living longer lives. The food is better, the nutrition is better, if they are kept indoors, they have less chance of coming down with diseases. They're neutered or spayed. You know, years ago when I grew up with cats, my mother she let the cats out, and a couple of them got lost. Some got hit by cars. Then we started learning more about them that, you know, they are better off inside. And even though they may want to go out, you know, my own cats, they go out. We have an enclosed patio. So they love to go out. In fact, they look at the birds coming down, and they love it. I even put a cat tree out there. But they don't go out, you know, outside. They're actually, you know, safe where they are. They can get a little bit of the outdoors, but they're safe. But as far as the story, The Path to Rainbow Bridge, yes, I think it's a story that pet people, especially cat people, because there are cats in the story, although I do refer to dogs because there is that poem, the Rainbow Bridge, the anonymous poem that, you know, most people are familiar with, about how when a pet passes away, they wait for their special person who they've bonded with, and when that person passes away, they'll be reunited on the bridge. And what I did was I took that poem and I made it into a story, but I used my own cats, each one. And they're welcoming, I'm not going to tell her story, but they're welcoming a new resident who is a cat who is about to pass away into the family of the cats who belong to that person. Because, you know, like, if my cats ever greeted me, the whole bridge would be crowded. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, let me ask, no, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot go order the book now. You've got to wait until after the show because you missed something. Y'all know how this has played out. What made you go into the cozy mysteries? I'm finding more and more authors are going into that genre. And surprisingly enough, I even have an author friend who's been a guest on the show who loves to read the cozy mysteries, and he is male. So what made you go into that genre?
Well, I did not intend to go into the genre. I felt I wanted to write, you know, gothic romance, a little bit like Nora Roberts. But I found that, you know, most of my books are, what would I say? They're clean. You know, they're clean mysteries. They're not explicit sexually or violence. I don't really like to get too gory. I mean, I do have murders in my books. I just feel that I like to write about small towns. I like to include pets and all of that. Well, you know, those are, you know, the features of cozy mysteries. So really my writing fits into that category. I do like to write different genres, though. I've written short stories, science fiction. I've written, I do write romance. I have a novella that's a romantic novel. It's actually a romantic comedy. So I do like to, just like I like to read various authors and I like to read different genres, I also like to write different genres. But my series is the Cozy Mystery series, and I'd like to continue it. I have some plans to continue it. But I do like to branch out and also try writing different types of books as well.
Now, the one that you've just released, Written in Stone, that's part of the Cobble Cove Mysteries, correct?
Yes, that's right. That's the third mystery of the series.
Okay. For the listening audience, and no, y'all cannot go get the first two now. You got to wait. Give, if you will, let the audience know a little bit about this series, how it came about, what it's about, and what people can expect from the future.
All right, well, the series, the main character in the series is a librarian like I am. So, of course, I based her on me, Alicia. And in the first book, I'm not going to go through, you know, a review of the books or a summary or anything, but you asked about the series itself. But the first book, of course, introduces the characters. Now, she is a widow. She's a librarian, but she's young. She had some issues with her husband where he was secretive about his past. She didn't know a lot about his family. So when he dies in a hit-and-run accident, she wants to know more about his background, maybe contact some of his relatives. And she's from Long Island, as I am. And she travels to where he grew up, his childhood home upstate. And I created a fictional town. I travel upstate a lot, but I decided to create a fictional town. It's called Cobble Cove. And in the town, she meets some people, and somehow she gets involved with the newspaper publisher, who is also, he's the publisher of the local paper in the town. And he's also has lost his own wife. And so they begin to get together, and she meets the other people in the town. And it turns out that there's a position open at the town library, and she decides to accept it. And that's where the mystery takes place, because she finds some things out about John. He's the newspaper publisher, and he is somehow tied in with her. His father, Mac, is tied in with her husband's family. And there's a mystery there that she is not aware of, and that comes out in the story. And I'm not going to, like I said, but what I'm going to say is, as the books continue, there are mysteries in each one. And we keep the same basic characters, the main characters. You know, Alicia will be in all the books, of course. There is a library cat, Sneaky. And he is based on my cat, Oliver. He's a Siamese, but he's younger. He was taken into the library. He was a stray cat that was taken in. And there are, you know, libraries around the country that do have library cats. My library doesn't, but there are some. Anyway, he finds some clues for Alicia. He doesn't talk. He's just a regular cat, but in some ways she follows him, and she discovers some of the clues by some of the things. For instance, in the book, he goes into the library storage room. There's a room upstairs. This is like a small town, as I said, and there's a small in the library itself, there's an area where people can actually stay. It's like a small apartment above the library in the small town. And she has stayed at the inn. That's where she meets John when she first came to town. But when they offer her the job, they offer her that room above the library. But there was a librarian before her. There's a strange story about, and that's part of the mystery, because she disappeared. She was supposed to have gone home. Actually, I'm telling you the whole story, but anyway, Alicia does take the apartment and above the library. And Sneaky, the cat, goes into the storage room there, and she follows him in, and she's scratching some boxes. Like cats sometimes, when they try to, they don't have a scratching post, sometimes they'll use a box or they'll use something else. And she realizes that there are letters in the box, and when she looks through the letters, she starts to find part of the mystery. So these are the type of things that happen with, and there's also a dog, by the way, in the book, Fido. And he belongs to John and John's father. Actually, John's father is his owner, but, of course, John takes care of him as well. And Fido also finds some clues, but I'm not going to go into that. But I have the dog and the cat in the book. In Between a Rock and a Hard Place, it takes place, there's an epilogue to A Stone's Throw that wraps things up. And then in Between a Rock and a Hard Place, it takes place like a year later, I'm not sure, I think it's 6 months, a year later, And I'm not going to go into that story either, but it does continue with the same characters, and there's another mystery. And then the last one that just came out, written in stone, is, you know, again, it has progressed a couple of months later, I think 6 months or so, and there's another, and the characters have changed. I bring in some new characters, and, you know, in A Stone's Throw, they joke about it because they say in Cobble Cove, you know, there's most people are over 40 or something. And I've even been told, I've had a lot of readers who are older, I'm saying, you know, seniors and older people who really enjoy the book because Mac is 80 years old. You know, John is younger. John, they're in their 40s, Alicia and John. But, you know, I've had them, you know, older people really, you know, identify with the characters, middle age and older. But in the Between a Rock and a Hard Place, I start throwing in college students. There are children. The town has expanded. It's changed. There's some other things going on. And Written in Stone, again, I have some of the main characters, but I also add a couple of new people. And I kind of, there's some subplots from previous books. So, I mean, each one can be read as a standalone. But if you follow the books, there are subplots that are reintroduced in each one, and different things are tied together in the mysteries.
Well, you've got me hooked. I'm sitting here going, okay, maybe if I just hop over to, no, I can't do that. I have to wait till after I finish my own show.
And Written in Stone, by the way, I forgot to add, you know, Sneaky's photo is on the cover of that book. I mean, the cat character, Sneaky, not my cat, but it's an image of a Siamese cat. So, and he has his own blog, but we didn't get to that. Sneaky writes his own blog. But
Tell us about Sneaky's blog.
Did you find that at all in your research? I don't know if you
I didn't get
seen
that far.
Oh. Starting with... when I completed Between a Rock and a Hard Place, Sneaky sort of demanded his own blog. What happened, you know, these characters, they start to demand things. You know, when I finished the first one, I didn't think that it would be a series. I didn't plan it as a series. But I got so tied up with the characters, and I said, you know, there's more to their story. And that's why I started Between a Rock and a Hard Place after I finished A Stone's Throw. And with Written in Stone, before I started Written in Stone, I said, well, it would be interesting if I have my own blog, but I thought a blog that Sneaky could write. And since he's a cozy cat character, he would interview other cat characters or other pets from other cozy mysteries or other books. I've even had not only cozy mystery cat characters, I had a cats from a real life cats I've interviewed of authors, and I had winery cats, cats who lived at a winery. I had a topiary cat.
Wow.
Sneaky has really had a lot of interesting guests. He's had a dog. I think he interviewed Fido. I know when the books came out, he interviewed other characters from the book. I think he interviewed Oliver. He does a lot of interviewing, and he's trying to also do reviews now, and he's asked for different. He does a feature Friday film every Friday that has a cat video. He did this past week, he did Father's Day, famous men who like cats, and there were different videos with that for Father's Day. So he does different things, but he wanted his own blog, then he wanted his pitch on the cover of the book, so, you know, he started asking for these things.
And apparently he got his way, as cats are prone to.
Most cats do. Yeah, my cat always, he's very spoiled, my cat. They're both spoiled. Very spoiled.
You know, the old adage is, dogs have masters, cats have slaves.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. My cat gets me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm an early person anyway. But by him getting me up, I can sit down and write. I mean, I'm up anyway, and I have to get ready for work, but he gets me up. He wants breakfast. So I'm like, all right, I'll write now.
That is amazing. So we can expect more from Sneaky. We might even have to have him on the show with you the next time so that he can tell his side of all of this.
I think he would be honored.
That would be a hoot and a half. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not above interviewing cats. They do have a personality.
Oh, and I also meant to add that on Facebook, we have the Cobble Cove Character Chat. I don't know if you know about that group. And Sneaky has been a host. Each of the characters from the series, they take turns. I have like 40 members right now, I think. More people have been joining. Each month, we have a contest that whoever the host for that month will sponsor. Currently, we have Ruby, she is the dog. We have another dog. You know, I tell you, we have Fido. We have Ruby. She is Gilly's. Gilly is the best friend of Alicia from Long Island, who ends up moving to Cobble Cove, but I really shouldn't really give that away. But Gilly's dog is Ruby. So she's a beagle. And Fido is a golden retriever. But the beagle is the host right now. So it's been fun. But we have the regular characters. Alicia's been a host. John's been a host. We vote on who the host will be each month. So we'll have a new host in July.
So tell the folks how they can join that group, because I have a whole host of people that love the Cozy Mysteries, and they're going to be yelling at me if you don't give them that information.
Well, they have to go, if they're on Facebook, they could just go to the Cobble Cove Character Chat is the name of the group, and they could search for that group. If they search for it and they join it, I usually have to approve the members, but I check it all the time and I will approve new members. There should be a link. I don't know offhand what it is, but it's Cobble Cove Character Chat. I'm sure if they search Facebook, they'll be able to find it. If they're a friend of mine or they friend me or whatever, I can invite them.
You are amazing. Who would have thought that you would have a group and the characters in your books would be the host? That is brilliant.
Well, I can't take all the credit for that. That was my daughter's idea. My daughter comes up, she's 12. She comes up with the most creative ideas. She knew that I had done, I had Facebook parties, and she heard about them. She heard what I was doing. She said, why don't you start a group and you have the characters in your book, you know, they could chat with other people on a monthly basis. I don't know. She came up with this idea. So I decided to try it, and people have been pretty happy with it.
Amazing. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but you've gone from cozy mysteries to a psychological thriller that you're working on.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that last year, Seascope, and I'm currently querying agents. I want to sell it to a larger publisher. I currently, most of my books are currently with Solstice Publishing, and they're wonderful. You know, they're a small publisher, but I'm very happy with them. They have wonderful editors, and the authors are terrific. We all promote one another. But my dream is to really be published with a large publisher. The only way really to do that is to get an agent. So mm-hmm. I've been inquiring, and this Seascope is different from what I write, and I really feel it's one of my better works. I'm happy with all my works. But what I'm saying is Seascope is different, and it's something I worked on. I've been polishing it. I've been working on it. But I haven't really had the time between trying to promote my other books. I haven't really had the time to send out a lot of queries, but I've been working on them. I'm currently taking an online course to help me with queries and pitches and all of that. I've revised my queries, and I'm going to start to seriously focus on that, because that's something that I've been, you know, really aiming at right now. Because I want to publish Seascope, but I'm holding it, you know, I'm waiting. I don't mind waiting a lot of...
Mm-hmm. Do you want to throw the synopsis out there and put it out into the universe and see what happens? Uh-huh. Strange things have happened from this show, I'm going to tell you.
Well, I guess I might as well. Do you want me to, my actual synopsis, do you want me just to summarize what the book is about?
Summarize, whatever you just feel comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to read the synopsis. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about
right.
it. See, the story is... it's about a woman named Sarah Collins. She is married, but she's having some difficulty in her marriage at this point. She would like to have a baby. She's in her 30s, and this is the time when most women, I know I had this situation, I had my child very late. She has some fertility issues. There's some issues in her marriage, and it's causing some difficulties with her husband. And at the same time, she had lost her brother. He died in a motorcycle accident. They were very close. He was her younger brother. It was the two of them. And when they were younger, they grew up together in South Carolina. They grew up at an inn. Their parents, it was a family-owned inn that it was their father's inn, and he had a sister. And they lived at the inn. And at that time, they found a body. Her and her brother discovered a body of a guest near the lighthouse, which is by the inn. It's not part of the property, but it's by the inn. And the family moved away because of this incident. Now, the body, they ruled the death a suicide. But no one really knew what happened and why. The young man, he was a college student who was staying at the inn, and he was studying lighthouses. And because no one really knew, but the family at that time, you know, they decided to move away. There were a lot of, you know, the police investigated. There was a whole investigation. And, you know, when something like that happens, you know, people will be, you know, it gives a little bit of a reputation to the place that it happened mm-hmm. at. Although sometimes it does attract attention. But there were other issues going on with the family at the time, and I won't give everything away, but that's 20 years ago. So what happens in the book is that Sarah, who now is facing difficulties in her own marriage, and her brother has passed away, and she was very close to him. So she's going through all of this trauma and then the difficulty in the marriage, and she gets an invitation from her aunt to come back to the inn. Where she had found the body when she was younger, and the aunt has now is going to reopen the inn. She's retired now. She had worked at other inns in the area, but now she decided to reopen Seascope, which is the name of the inn. And she says this is the opportunity. She's a book illustrator, by the way, and her aunt is a portrait painter, but she's a book illustrator, Sarah. And what happens is that she decides to go back. It seems like the right thing to do. Her husband is a professor, and he's working in the summer. And basically, she thinks it's a good idea that they separate for a while because of what's happening between them. He's not going along with her desire to have children. He doesn't want to seek any medical help, assistance. He thinks everything will work out, but she doesn't feel that way. So they're having this crisis together. But when she goes back to the inn, on her way there, she goes with a friend who happens to be an author. She's the book illustrator for the author. And what happens, I don't want to give the whole entire story away. The story starts moving back into the past, what happened at the inn, you know, 20 years ago. And the thing is, she's starting to get, all of a sudden, once she accepts this invitation, she's starting to receive messages from her brother, and he died 2 years ago. There are text messages initially, and then there are notes. When he was a young boy and he grew up in the house, he used to leave crayon clues. He used to leave messages written in crayon, a little game that he used to play. And then when he texts her, he actually uses a nickname that he was the only one who used. So, but how could it be him? He's dead. So there's a little intrigue there. But what happens is when she goes back, she's reunited with people who 20 years ago who were there at the time that this man was found dead. And some of them have grown up. There were two other children with her and her brother. And they're grown now because it's 20 years later. Also, the adults are there who were there. There was a housekeeper. So they come together. And there's something going on because she's receiving messages. Other people start receiving. Her aunt starts receiving messages. Her mother comes back, and her mother had been an alcoholic, and when the incident happened, it became worse. And her brother dying, she was always very, you know, Sarah was closer to her aunt because her aunt was more of a very strong person. She never married the aunt. You know, she and her brother had the inn together. She never married, but she was always a very independent person. She used to paint portraits. She was very, and that's where Sarah picked up her love of drawing and art and became an illustrator. And even in her diary that she goes back and finds in the house, she used to, instead of writing, she used to draw, because that was her way of communicating. And she drew what happened the day that she found the body. And then the diary she left there when she left Seascope, and it turns up. So there's different clues that happen, but then the story starts to go back and forth in time. And what's happening in the current somehow is connected with something that happened in the past, and I start doing that until the mystery is solved.
Okay, you got to get that book published, because now I got to read it for sure. I'm sitting here getting chills listening to you discuss this book, going, okay, I need to go get this book.
Well, I also, as an added, you know, added information in the book, I started researching lighthouses. I actually interviewed people who were connected with lighthouses, like in South Carolina, because I made up a lighthouse there. I didn't base it on any real lighthouse, but I researched them. I took books from the library. I called people. I interviewed people, and I'm putting, like, in front of certain chapters, I'm putting, because he was writing about lighthouses, the man who passed away. So what I'm doing is I'm putting his research in the book, and the research is the research that I've done about lighthouses. So some of the book has, you know, how fiction books have true facts in them. Well, I've done that in some of the chapters. So I thought that would be an added touch about lighthouses.
Debbie, get that book published. Lighthouses are one of my favorite things. I love them. And for you to do a psychological thriller with a lighthouse, okay, that's one of those things where, no, she didn't just do that.
You know, I live on Long Island, so, you know, there are several lighthouses on Long Island. I recently, the library had a trip. I couldn't resist it. It was a lighthouse tour. I thought I would gather more info for the book, but I couldn't really hear the captain talking, and I was. But it was beautiful to see. I took some pictures of the lighthouses. They, you know, it was a little tour around the world. We also went to a winery. It was a very, very nice trip. Libraries have great trips, by the way.
It sounds like it. Maybe I should be a librarian. Now, you're not going to believe this. Remember at the beginning of the show that I was going to at some point say that our show is going to be ending in a few minutes, that our hour will soon. Yes. Our hour will soon. It does. And this is why I said don't worry, because we had plenty to talk about and didn't cover half of it. That's why you've got to come back. Because
I'd love to.
You are a fascinating person and a over-the-top author. And ladies and gentlemen, I dare you to go get her cozy mystery books. And when she gets this psychological thriller out, be first in line after me. I'm going to tell you right now, because you got to keep me in the loop, Debbie, because I want to get this book as soon as it comes out.
I definitely will. Thank you, Yvonne.
You are welcome. Thank you for spending an hour with me. And when the show goes dark, please don't hang up, because I have some things I need to tell you that you'll be real excited about. But before we do that, tell people where you can be found, the names of your book, and where they can be found.
All right. Well, I have a website. It's DebbieDLouise.com, and I don't know, should I spell my name? That you have it on the podcast.
Yes.
You have my name. But if they go to Amazon, they can. I have an author page there, and all my books are listed, so they can search for me. But my Cobble Cove Mysteries. The first book was A Stone's Throw, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And the last one was written in stone. So those are the three: A Stone's Throw, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, and Written in Stone. They have the theme and the title of stones and rocks and so on, but that's because they're Cobble Cove Mysteries. Anyway, so they can be found on Amazon. They're an ebook, and they're also in, for Kindle. Also in paperback, where they can get them on any of the online sellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I've had patrons who've, because I've autographed copies for people, I've had patrons who have purchased it from Barnes & Noble and had me, sign it, but they also can get them through Amazon. Most people use Amazon. And all my other books are listed there, the anthologies and my short stories. Everything's on my author's page. The Cloudy Rainbow, my first book, which is not by Solstice. That was my very first book that I self-published. The others are by Solstice Publishing. And I have, the anthologies, the novella, the romantic comedy, which came out in February, When Jack Trumps Ace is the title of that. It's about a jewel thief who... it's a romantic comedy, so you'll see. So anyway, that's how they can find me. Like I said, I have a website. I have an email newsletter that comes out twice a month, so they can sign up on my website for the newsletter. And I have a Twitter page at Deb Librarian on Twitter. And Facebook is Debbie D. Louise. And I told you the Cobble Cove character chat. They can also join on Facebook.
And ladies and gentlemen, this woman is absolutely, she blows my mind, because she has just brought all of her books to life that we've talked about, and I have not read the first one, but I feel like that I already know the characters, and I can't wait to delve into them. So if you have not yet read Cozy Mysteries, try her books, because you will not be sorry. And when she releases a psychological thriller, oh, by all means, I'll be getting that one too. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, she has agreed to come back. It will be after the first of the year, because we are booked through the end of the year, and I'm taking slots for the first quarter of next year. So I'm going to get Debbie in there, because I'm sure you're working on something else, right, Debbie?
You know, I just finished another mystery. Well, actually, I'm on the last chapter of a mystery. It's a standalone mystery, so I have a lot of editing to do on it. I'm going to let it sit a while, because I'm concentrating on C-Scope, I'm concentrating on finding an agent, but I'm going to let the other mystery sit a while. It's almost done. It's maybe one more chapter, and then I want to go back and polish it and edit it. You know, it's a process, and maybe work on some short stories, maybe start Cobble Cove number 4, I don't know. I have a lot of ideas right now.
See, ladies and gentlemen, so she and I will have a lot to talk about when we bring her back. We are getting very short on our time. Debbie, thank you so much for spending an hour with us and bringing your beautiful self to our show. And I can't wait to bring you back. And like I said, hang on after the show goes dark, because I have some things for you. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night our show will start at 9:00 instead of 8:00, because I am going to celebrate my husband's 82nd birthday with dinner at Benihana's, and I want to have plenty of time to get back and get the show up and running. We will be interviewing author Jane Jordan. And as I say at the end of every show, if you want to achieve success, stop asking permission. Just go out and do it. And don't just feel special, be special. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, y'all all know this, we've talked about it, that becomes your trademark. And I believe that with all of my heart. How we treat others in this life is how we are treated in kind, and we never know when we're going to save someone's life. And because we are all dreamers, and without us dreamers, we would not have the beautiful culture that we live in, the beautiful society that we live in, the beautiful world we live in. So if you're a dreamer, make your dream happen. If your child is a dreamer, make his dream happen. Encourage those children, because they are our future. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and this is Off the Chain. My guest tonight was author Debbie DeLouise. It's DeLouise. Check her out, and we will have her back on the show. And until tomorrow night at 9:00, As you all know, this show is always off the chain, and you never know what's going to happen, so you need to be there and listen to us. So until tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with author Jane Jordan, this is your host, Yvonne Mason, saying good evening. Okay, we are now off the air, but this will show up in archives, which is okay. I just wanted to let you know that when this show ends, when I shut the board down, mm-hmm. it will go up into archives. When it archives, I will put the link on my page. I will tag you in it. Part of the thing of my paying all this forward is you take that link and you put it mm-hmm. everywhere you want to put it and spread this interview so other people can enjoy it and learn about you.
Sure, will do, definitely.
Oh, it gets better. Tomorrow,
uh-huh.
I will be putting the show up on SoundCloud, MixCloud,
mm-hmm.
SoundCloud, MixCloud, and Spreaker. Podcast.com and Podcast Garden. It's 5 podcasts that I run. That show up, I will send you the link, and you take those links and spread them everywhere so that people can enjoy the show. This is where we get the 65-plus countries listening to this show, because every mm-hmm. podcast has its own unique listeners.
Wow.
Not only that, it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
The show automatically goes up on YouTube, iTunes, FM.com, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. And Stitcher is heard on Sirius Radio, which is in the people's cars.
Wow. That's great, Yvonne. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I enjoyed having you as my guest.
I did. You know, I did forget to say a couple of things, but, you know, you always do, you know.
Well,
but
make a note,
yeah.
because you're coming back. Remember what I said. This is not a one-trick pony, because you will gain a following on this show. If you start spreading the word that you were on this show and that you're coming back, people will start begging you, when are you going to be back, Debbie? We want to hear more. Trust me, it happens all the time.
Great. Okay, so when do we book? I know you book several months ahead of time. So
what I'm going to do when I get off from here, probably tomorrow, I'm
mm-hmm.
going to send you a note of some dates I have. Will you be ready with some new stuff in January? Do you want to roll it into February? I'm going to leave that up to you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. See what happens by the new year. That sounds good. That sounds good. January, February sounds fine.
Okay.
Hopefully.
See how easy that was, and I'll send you some dates, and if those dates, if you're not ready by then we can
mm-hmm.
just roll it forward. I'm real easy to work with.
Great.
So thank you again, my sweet. And I
all right.
So
now you'll send me the. You said you're going to send me the links.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So I can look for them tomorrow. They should be up.
Yeah, tonight if the main server, which is up in New York, doesn't hang up like it did last night, the show should
mm-hmm.
go into archives in about 30 minutes. If it doesn't, it'll be tomorrow, because sometimes it gets a brain cramp and I have to wait. But usually I can get it up like within 30 minutes.
All right.
And then
I'm at the library tomorrow, but I'll check in the morning. I'm working tomorrow, but I will, I will check in the morning, and, you know, I'm on the computer at work, you know.
And then I'll shoot the links mm-hmm. over from the podcast as soon as I get them up. It usually takes
about
an hour.
I just can't put sound. I can't use sound at work. That's the only thing. Can't use sound.
Gives you something to share with your daughter and your husband when you get home tomorrow night.
Yep, and I'll be, up at 5 with my cat, so. My cat is waking me up so I can hear the podcast.
Well, thank you again, and I am so glad you felt comfortable and enjoyed being on here as much as I enjoyed
having
you.
You know, I was nervous, but you were very helpful, and I think, I think it went okay. You know, I was a little nervous at
perfect.
The beginning. Yeah, a little nervous at the beginning, but you asked me things that, you know, I was able to answer, so.
Yeah, because it's just two friends getting to know each other.
Right. That's very nice. Thank you, Yvonne. It was a pleasure to speak with you. And
I hope you have a great evening.
And happy birthday to your husband, by the way. That's wonderful.
Thank you. I'll tell him. And we'll talk again.
Okay, Yvonne. Have a great evening.
You too. Good night, my
and
dear.
You, are your storms better over there? Are they calming
down?
Yes,
it's calmed down now. So.
Yeah, good.
We didn't lose anything, which is good.
All right, and my phone stayed connected, which is a miracle.
Yeah, I told you it would be perfect.
So
until we talk again, I will say good evening.
Okay, take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right, honey.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again. Good night. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.